All right, we are holding on page 150 in Shabbos, 150, line 7, middle of Ois Kuf Yud Ches. If all goes well, best Shem will finish the Masechta today. We're in the middle of talking about, so we said they found in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's notebook a description of depending what day of the week a person is born on, he's going to have certain tendencies. So we left off that Rabbi Chanina, when he heard of this, he told the Chachamim, go tell Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that it's not the Mazel Yoim that makes the big difference, it's the Mazel Shah, the Mazel, the specific hour that the person was born in. Now, we talked about earlier in the Masechta, and previously there was a discussion about bloodletting and when's good times for it, not such good times for it. You have this concept that every hour of each of the 168 hours of the week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there is one particular one of the seven mazalos that has a greater influence in the world during that time. It has nothing to do with their orbits per se. It's not like their orbits go specifically in hourly patterns like that. They're arranged basically from the one that's furthest to Earth, from Earth, which are of the ones that are visible, which goes up to and including Saturn, Shabsai, it's called in Hebrew, because the ones beyond that, Uranus and Neptune and Pluto, weren't known in ancient times. They're far not visible with the naked eye, so those don't count for this purpose. So you have the planets from Saturn going into Mercury, which is called Kochav in Lashon Kodesh, and then you have the Sun and the Moon. So they're arranged in the order going from furthest to closest.
But the further planets should also have
effect. So that's the thing. The vort is that since they're not even visible with the naked eye, then their influence is going to be so limited that we can ignore it. So, in general, in halacha also, halacha usually only concerns itself with things you can see with the naked eye. That is why, for example, there's the whole discussion about the bugs in the water. Are they an issue? Can you actually see with the naked eye that there's any bugs over there? That's the copepods, whatever. Yeah, but you have many other examples like that. In halacha, you have, for example, there are certain creatures that are considered that they're not produced by parents. They form naturally in decaying matter or whatever. Scientifically, they come from eggs, but the eggs are so microscopic that they don't count in halacha, is one of the explanations. So in a similar vein over here. Anyway, so the idea is then, so you have, again, seven heavenly bodies like that, arranged from furthest to closest relative to their distance from Earth. So Shabsai, Saturn being the furthest, and Levana, the moon, being the closest. So they're arranged in that order, Shabsai, Tzedek, Ma'adim, and so forth. And then each hour of each, so you have the first hour then, of Shabbos morning. So it starts with actually Tuesday night, because Hashem created the heavenly bodies on Wednesday, and Vayhi Erev Vayhi Boker, so each day begins at the evening before. So therefore, the first hour from 6 to 7 Tuesday night is going to be controlled by Shabbos, not controlled, but it's going to be influenced by Shabbosai, by Saturn. The next hour after that, by Tzedek, which is Jupiter, then Ma'adim, which is Mars, and so forth, until you go through the seven of them. And then it repeats over and over, and since you have 7 days in a week, so each day you're going to have, so it works out in a weekly cycle like that. This is the concept we have. For example, we don't make Kiddush between 6 and 7 Friday night, because the time when the influence of Ma'adim is paramount. And you have other examples that the Gemara mentions of this concept here and there in Shas. So now we're going to go through this. So, by the way, we talked about also when we mentioned this a couple of weeks back, the names of the days of the week in English and in most other European languages are based on that whole concept also. Why do we call the first day of the week Sunday? As a matter of fact, it comes out, according to that Cheshvan, the first hour of the day, 6 to 7, on Sunday morning, is the Ashba of the sun. From 6 to 7, Monday morning, is the Ashba of the moon. In English, it's harder to see the connection because the rest of them are named for various Germanic gods, but in French and Spanish and Italian or whatever, it's easier to see. They're more clearly named after Mars, Mercury, and so forth, going through the week like that. Anyway, so Rav Chanina says, let's go through them. So he says, not Mazel Yom, but Mazel Shah. So a person who is born under the influence of the sun. Now, we're not listing them in the order that they're usually listed. Maharal Shah points out the order, if you're going according to the orders of the which order they go in from Shabsai onward, then we should be starting with that. If you're going according to the days of the week, then they should go according to one of two other possible orders, depending whether you're talking about the morning or the first hour of the morning or the first hour of the night. So he says primarily we want to start with the sun, because that's the main thing among all the heavenly bodies, that's the most noticeable. So as a high man of Chama, a person is born under the mazel of Chama, Yehei Gvar Zivson, he's going to be a brilliant person, like this way, like the way the sun is bright. Yehei Ochel Medilei V'Shosin Medilei, he'll eat from his own resources and drink from his own resources, like the sun, which is not only shines independently, but Rashi points out, it doesn't encroach on the moon's territory. It never shines at night, as opposed to, the Gemara is going to point out soon, the moon, on the other hand, sometimes you see the moon in the sky during the day. So in a certain sense, it's sort of encroaching on the sun's territory, whereas the sun never does that. So he'll eat and drink of his own resources. He won't be taken from other people. And all his secrets will be clearly revealed. He won't have the ability to keep things a secret. But it'll be like the sun, which is clearly visible. Such a person, if he tries to steal, it won't be successful because it'll be very obvious that he did that. Next, Haiman de Bekoichav Noida. A person was born under the influence of Noida, which is Venus. Yehei Gvar Osir Vezanai, he's going to be rich and promiscuous. Yehei, he'll be. Maitan, again, like we talked about with the mazel of the days in the previous one, it doesn't mean he's absolutely going to be like that. We'll discuss soon in the Gemara the whole concept of Yesh Mazel or Ein Mazel Yisrael doesn't mean he's bound absolutely to this, but it means this is the natural tendency that he'll tend towards. To be rich and promiscuous. Yehei. Maitan Mishim de Italia Beinura. Because fire is connected with and is associated with that mazel of Noida, of Venus, and therefore, so in particular, the Yetzer of Tashmish, of Znus, is very powerful by such a person. So he's going to have a harder time overcoming that. In what sense fire is associated with Noida, with Venus, the Gemara doesn't really say. In modern times, they discover that the surface of it is quite hot, like 900 degrees, And maybe the Chachmei HaGemara knew that, same as Soed Hashem Nireyav. They knew lots of things that they didn't have, that they wouldn't have had a way of knowing in a natural way. But anyway, So therefore, and then the Yetzer Hara of Znus in particular, we find in other Gemaras as compared to fire. Next, Haiman de Koichav, a person who was born under the influence of Koichav, which is Mercury, Yehei Gvan Nohir V'Chatim. He will be a person who shines and is smart. When we learned about the days of the week, we had the word Nohir. Rashi explained that it meant shining, and the Aruch said it means he'll have a good memory. So here it's the same kind of, here it would be the same kind of thing. So he'll be smart, or he'll have a good memory. V'chakim, and he'll be wise. Mishum v'safra d'chamahu, because Koichav, Mercury, is, so to speak, the scribe, the secretary of the sun. Mercury is the closest planet to the sun. Always, when you see it in the sky, it's always going to be fairly close to the sun. So therefore, it, so to speak, it's like it always accompanies the sun as its secretary to write down where the sun is moving and what it's supposed to be doing. The next one, Haiman de Levana, a person is born under the influence of Levana, the moon. Yehei Gvar Sovil Marin, he's going to be a person who suffers from sicknesses, like the moon, which is always waxing and waning. It's never stable. In fact, Marsha points out that after all, when you have the whole thing, when this moon argued that you can't have two kings using the same crown, and Hashem tells the moon, L'chiyu mati asatzmek, go diminish yourself. So such a person is going to live a life where he's going to be diminished a lot. Banai v'sosir, sosir vanai, it's at the end of the volume, yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. They're all the same thing. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. So a person is born under Levana. Banai v'sosir, sosir v'banai. He'll build and destroy, or destroy and build. In other words, his life is going to be unstable, like the moon, which is constantly growing bigger and smaller. Ochel deloy delay v'shosi deloy delay. What he eats and drinks won't be his own. In other words, he's going to end up taking from other people, like the way the moon encroaches on the sun's territory, and sometimes you see it in the sky during the day. His secrets, though, will be concealed. He'll be able to keep secrets, like the way the moon is not always visible. Such a person, if he steals, will be successful. So again, it means he has a tendency towards these things. Obviously, you can use all these things for Kedusha. You have Rabbi Zusha Anipal, who said you can learn seven things in Avodah from a Ganev. So in the same way, such a person, you can also learn a lot from him of how to do Avodah. Anyway, It can mean, among other things, for example, that he doesn't take credit for himself, unlike the one under the sun, who, you know, everything he does has to be publicly known, and he has to make a big deal out of that publicly. Maybe this Lavana kind of guy is the kind of guy who'll work more behind the scenes and then make things happen. Yeah. Anyway. Haiman de Beshabsai, the person is born under the influence of Saturn. Yehegva machshavte betelin. His thoughts will be bottled, because the word Shabsai comes from the word, the shorta shavas means to cease, like lo yishvosu, the day and night and so forth will not cease. So therefore, so his thoughts, whatever he plans, will become bottled. The East Amri called him a chashvin, aloyi betelin. Others say it means the other way around. It means anything that people plot against him will become bottled. In fact, Marsha says, when you get down to it, Shabsai is actually associated with destruction and causing things to cease. That is, in fact, why Malach of Shabsai is the mazel particularly associated with Shabbos. You see it in the name. Shabsai has the shirt of Shabbos in it, and it is, in fact, the mazel of the first hour of Shabbos morning. So that's that, appropriately enough, Malacha is also on that day. Like Hashem specifically set it up that way, so that a day when anyway Malacha is not going to be successful is a day when anyway we shouldn't be doing Malacha. In fact, we had earlier, Marshall also refers to, we had the story with the Chosid Echad who discovered a breach in his fence on Shabbos and thought to fix it, and then he ended up not fixing it because he had thought wrongly on Shabbos. So we see that's an example of nullifying his work, which we're saying he was associated with Shabbosai. Next, Haiman de Tzedek, a person who's born under the influence of Tzedek, which is Jupiter. Yehegvar Tzadkan, he's going to be a person who's Tzadkan. What does that mean? Omer Rav Nachman Reisach, Tzadkan b'mitzvahs. It means he's going to be big on giving tzedakah to poor people. You often have, Rashi says, we talked about this the other day, that in the Yerushalmi and in some places in the Badli, the word mitzvah, the generic word mitzvah, refers to tzedakah. So specifically, it means he's going to be tzadkan. He's going to be looking to give tzedakah, to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. The Gemara is going to mention soon that Avraham Avinu was born under that mazel, which fits very well with what we know about Avraham Avinu. And the last one, Haiman de Mamadim, a person is born under the influence of Madim, which is Mars. Yehegvar Ashid Dama. He's going to be a person who spills blood. Now, does that necessarily have to be a negative thing? Omer Rav Ashi, it could be positive. E umna, he could be a bloodletter. E ganva, on the other hand, he could be a thief. E tabcha, he could be a shochet. E mahula, he could be a moil. So there's many different ways that he can use that tendency that he has to spilling blood. He can have it, so he can use it for good constructive purposes like those. But Omer Rabba, I'm not a madim, I've already. So Rabba says, I was born under madim, and I'm not any of the above. So what's going on? Amar Abaya, Mar Nami, Onesh V'Kotel. So Abaya says, you know, Rebbe, after all, you also, you people who are over on what you say, you being a big Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik, then you cause that they die, as we find throughout Shas, when people insulted or otherwise treated a Talmud Chacham badly. And, you know, you often have the expression, for example, Nosin Einaboy, Vanasa Gal Shalat Somas. He looked at him and turned him into a pile of bones. So Abaya says, you do that to people also. You also cause that people treat you wrongly, and they get severely punished for it. Some of the Mephoshim, by the way, point out that also you have maybe a hint over here to the story in Megillah, the famous thing of Kom Rabba v'shachte l'Rav Zera. There you have an example where Rabba, actually, at least according to the simple meaning of the Gemara, actually did shvichas damim. Of course, we all know the famous sicha where the Rebbe talks about that it wasn't, that it means he brought him up to a level of a lakus that was beyond what he could bear. But still, you know, the Gemara phrases it over there in terms of that. So therefore, like Abaye is gently hinting to Rabba that you have that. Okay. So now that we went through all of that, Itmar, so now we have a discussion about that. Rav Hanina Omer, mazel machkin, the mazel under which a person was born makes a person wise or not. For example, we said about the sun or about Mercury. Mazel mashu. Similarly, there's a mazel that makes a person Hashem caused that he was born under that, and the result of that is he's rich. The yesh mazel Yisrael, and there is mazel that influences the Jewish people, meaning Rashi says, even tefillah or tzedakah would not change that. If Hashem has decided when a person was born that he was born under a certain mazel, then even tefillah, and for example, he was born under a mazel that he's going to be poor, for example, then even tzedakah or tefillah is not going to change that. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan on the Ein Mazel Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan says there is no mazel for the Jewish people, which means, in other words, that tefillah or tzedakah or other schusim can change a person's mazel for good, Rashi says. Tosfos points out, Now you have a different Gemara that says that boni chayir mezone, that brachas of children and life and parnosa don't depend on schus, they depend on mazel. So how would that fit with Rabbi Yochanan's ein mazel Yisrael? So Tosfos explains what it means is that, yes, it means that Rabbi Yochanan would say you can have sometimes a tremendous schus can change it, but sometimes not even not. Sometimes not even that. Sometimes you have that sometimes you have the mazel has been changed. Sometimes you have the mazel is unchangeable, but sometimes you have that tremendous chosim can cause it to change. So then Malsha says, so then what? According to Rav Chanina, you're going to say even schus gadol not? What about all the brachas in the Torah? That says if you listen to Hashem, this will happen. If you don't listen to Hashem, this will happen. And obviously that's schus, not mazel. So Malsha explains there's a difference between the Jewish people, the general Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, and the Rabbim. There for sure it has nothing to do with mazel. The machloikas over here is about an individual. Rav Chanina would say that mazel machkim and mashir for the individual, and Rav Yechanan would say even for the individual, it's not controlled by mazel. So there's a good deal more discussion about that. First of all, Akosev discusses in some detail over here. Mostly Akosev deals over here more with the question of, don't we say in other Gemaras that you're not supposed to be superstitious? So there's actually an issue, Loisa Nachashu, that says in the Pasuk. So how does that fit with everything we're talking about over here about Mazolos, and then further we're going to talk about stargazers and so on and so forth. And the gist of it, he says that there's a difference between things that are known to the scientists of that time as these things that we're talking about mazel versus things that are completely just nonsense and superstition, and those are what the Torah asks to us. And he goes on with a bit of arichus about that. But there are a lot of other different explanations about this business of yesh mazel or ein mazel Yisrael and what the various opinions mean. Is it like Marsha says that it means yochid versus rabbim? Is it we're talking about like Tosfos is saying we're talking about to what extent can schus change it? And sometimes we have. In other words, for example, the Gemara tells a story in Titus where Rabbi Lazar, the Amora, was extremely poor. And at one point he asked Hashem, am I going to have to mucha like this my entire life? And Hashem says, well, do you want me to recreate the world and you'll maybe be born under a better mazel? Implying that even Rabbi Lazar, with all this great chosim, then the mazel wasn't going to change for him. Hashem had decided in his plan that it has to be, that it's necessary for him to be poor, and therefore the only way would be if everything started all over again. So there is a lot of that. And then Chassidus, it talks about, the Alter Rebbe explains in the Kutta Torah, in Parshas Ha'azinu, when it's brought in various other places, in Chassidus for that, that the word, first of all, the word mazel, when we talk about mazolos over here, we're talking about the various planets, but on a deeper level, the mazel refers to the shodesh of a person's neshama. So we talk about a person is born under a certain mazel, means in other words, that their neshama has a certain connection with that particular aspect of a course, and also that the idea of ein mazel Yisrael is really ayin, as in ba'chochmah ma'ayin timatzei, is mazel Yisrael. The mazel of the Jewish people is something that's higher than the whole Seder Ishtalchus. Anyway, so va'az de Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei, now Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his svara. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, minayin she'ein mazel Yisrael, how do we know that the Jewish people do not have mazel, meaning that their mazel can be changed by Torah or Tefillah or whatever? Shenema, the Pasuk says, Koyamar Hashem, el derech ha-goyim al tilmodu, don't learn from the ways of the goyim, where they think everything is controlled by the planets and the stars, or may oises ha-shamayim al techotu, don't be afraid of the signs in the heavens, ki yechatu ha-goyim mehema, because the goyim are afraid of those, implying goyim yechatu v'lo Yisrael. Only the goyim need to be afraid of those. You Jewish people, the Navi is saying, do not. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you see from that, there ain't mazel Yisrael. So Abbas Eisen on the side over here says, new, and what would Rav Chanina do with that passage? So first of all, he could say again, Yochid versus Tzibur. And then also, there could be a difference that by a tzaddik gomer, there's another way of explaining that the Ritva explains in connection with that Gemara in Moed Katan that Tosfos refers to, that another distinction is, are we talking about a tzaddik gomer, or are we talking about somebody on a lesser level? A tzaddik gomer, yes, the schus can help to change his mazel. Somebody on a lesser level than that, not necessarily. So Rav Chanina would say that the Navi is saying, you need to be tzaddik and gomorim, and then you won't have anything to worry about from the mazolos. But when you're not at that level yet, then you may have to worry about it to a certain extent. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amar Rav, or Rav Sagar, ein mazel Yisrael. Rav also agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that ein mazel Yisrael, the Jewish people are not exclusively controlled by the mazolos. The Amar, in other words, that schus and tefillah and whatever can change it. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Rab, Minayin Shein Mazal Yisrael, Shenema, Yahabai Avram, Avinu Vayyotze, Oyser HaChutza, Hashem took him outdoors, and he showed him Koyi Azarecha, that you can have as many children as the stars. So what's the, why is it not to mention he took him outside? The point of the question is, Marsha says that if it just meant that he had to take, they took him out to see the stars, it was anyway a vision of Nevuah. So why does he have to take him outdoors to see if he's anyway, what he's seeing is anyway a vision of Nevuah where you don't necessarily have to be physically present. So therefore, so it means, Omar Avraham Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ben Beisi Yoda Shosi. It says, Hashem, the member of my household, Eliezer, is going to end up inheriting me because I'm not able to have children. And Hashem says no, as it says in the Pesukim, ki ima sheyetzim emeecha, a child who will come out of your own body will inherit you. But then Avraham says, Ribbono Shel Olam, nistakalti v'itzagninus shali, I looked into my astrology, into my horoscope, basically. The eni roi laholid bein, and I see from that that I'm not suitable to have a son. I was born under the wrong mazel. Amalois, and now when it says Vayotze Oisar Chutza, means Amalai, Hashem tells him, Tsei Meit Stagninus Shaloch, go out from your stargazing, which the Gemara, by the way, mentions in Bava Basra, Avraham was tremendously expert in that. It says over there that all Malchim, Mizrach, Meirav, the kings of the east and west, would all come to Avraham Avinu to learn from him this, but nevertheless, Hashem is telling him, you're higher than that. She'ein Mazel Yisrael, there's no Mazel for the Jewish people, you're not controlled by Mazel. And Hashem tells him, my Daitach, what do you think? The problem is, the Koit Sedek Meirav, the problem is, that tzedek, which was your mazel, as we said before, a person born under tzedek is constantly looking to do tzedakah, which was Avraham Avinu's hallmark. So your mazel of tzedek is located in the west, and Rashi explains, the west is a cold place. Winds that come from the west are cold winds. So you think, therefore, that therefore your nature is to be cold and frigid and unable to father children. No. Umuk mahadana umuk mina loy b'mizrach, I will take tzedek, or I have even taken tzedek. Maharal says, we're not talking about right now. Hashem is saying previously, I already did, and placed it, and placed it in the east, where the east is a hot place. There was just in Daf Yomi the other day, it talked about the east wind as a hot, dry wind. So therefore, tzedek being in the east represents that Avraham's mazel is now going to make it through that. Now there's going to come hashpah to him to be hot and to be able to have the heat to be able to produce children. And the Maharal says another point on it as well. The west is where the sun sets. The east is where it rises. So Avraham is saying, like, my mazel is in the west, implying that I'm going to set from the world, like the way the sun sets, and there's none of its light left on the earth, and therefore, in the same way, I'm going to be gone, and nobody's going to succeed me. And Hashem tells him, no, I'm going to put it in the east, where planets and stars and the sun rise from, representing your sun is going to rise, and you're going to have a future. Anyway, v'hainu d'chtiv, this explains the pasuk in Yeshaya, which we actually read as the Haftarah of Lech Lecha, appropriately enough. It says, mi heir mi mizrach tzedek, who aroused tzedek from the east, yikra'ehu l'raglei, Hashem called it for his purpose. So in other words, the actual trup in the pasuk is a little bit different. Mi heir mi mizrach, who aroused from the east, tzedek yikra'ehu l'raglei, Hashem called righteousness on his behalf. But here we're understanding that it means Hashem called and moved tzedek to the east in order, l'raglei, for Avram's sake, in order that he should be able to have children. So we see that Rab holds that ein mazel Yisrael, that the Jewish people are not exclusively controlled by mazel. We have something that's higher than that. Ayin mazel Yisrael. Maharsha, by the way, refers to a Gemara in Nedarim that says a little differently, where it says over there that Avraham says to Hashem, I see with my Itzagninus that I'm only going to be able to have one child, and eventually he had Yishmael, so therefore I'm not able to have another one. And again, Hashem tells him that, no, you're going to have Yitzchak as well. So Maharsha explains that there were two stages over here. First, Avraham figured that his Itzagninus, so that we're saying over here in the Gemara, is he's not going to have children at all. So Hashem tells him, don't worry, already previously I've moved tzedek so that your mazel has changed. Now, after that, though, Avraham says over there, still, it seems that even with that, all it's going to be is I'm able to have one child, and Hashem tells him, no, that's not how it's going to work. Okay. And he had more. We had Mnechtura also later on. True, yeah. Okay. Now, we also see from a story involving Shmuel that also he holds a mazel Yisrael. The Shmuel of Avlet Havriyasti. One time Shmuel and Avlet were sitting together. Avlet, we had him earlier in the Masechta. He was a Goyish scientist or astrologer or whatever. There wasn't really a great deal of difference between them at that time. Whatever. He was a Goyish savant. He was a stargazer, and he was a friend of Shmuel. So one time they're sitting. Some people are going out to the meadow where they're going to cut reeds. Omele avlet the shmuel, so avlet says to shmuel, hi gaber also. He points to a certain person. That person is going to go. Velay osi, he's not going to come back alive. The tortik le chivio mice. While he's out there in the meadow, a snake is going to bite him and he's going to die. Omele shmuel, shmuel says not necessarily. E bar yisraelu, if he's a Jew, and apparently from a distance they couldn't necessarily tell, Ozil va'asi, he could successfully go and come back, because in Mazal Yisrael, he can have a schus that will save him from that. So Marushal says, Shmuel is not saying for sure he's going to come back. He doesn't even know whether he's a Yid yet, much less whether he has a schus. He's only going to find that out later in the story. But he means he may have a schus. So now why doesn't he tell him in that case, why doesn't Shmuel call out to the guy and say, don't go, because from what Avlet is telling me, you might be in danger over there. Well, I mean, you could say Balabat if he was too far away, but Marushal says a different reason. It's a sex faker. First of all, is the guy even a Yid? And number two, if he is, he might have a schus, so therefore Shmuel didn't find it necessary to warn him. Anyway, so Ad Yasvi, so as they were still sitting over there, Avlet and Shmuel together, Ozil v'Osla, sure enough, the guy went to cut his reeds and came back. He came back alive. Kom Avlet, Shodi Latune, so Avlet came over to the guy, and took his backpack off, took his load off his shoulders. Ashkach bechivia, the posik b'shodi b'tarti. He found among the reeds there was a snake that had been chopped in b'tarti gubi. He found a snake that had been chopped into two pieces. So the guy had been cutting reeds over there, and at some point, there had been a snake among them, and without realizing it, he had cut the snake in two, and then bound bundles together with his reeds, and he didn't even realize what happened. Omele Shmuel my abdus. So Shmuel says to the guy, what'd you do? What special schus did you do? Omalei, so the guy tells him, Ko yoma habim meraminen rifta bahadi hadori va'achlin. Now, the way we work it is, every day when we go out, we workers go out, we put all our bread into the basket, and everybody eats va'achlinen, and we eat together. So in other words, each person, now, so one person is appointed to go around to take every person's piece of bread, they put it into the common basket, and then afterwards everybody takes out a piece and eats. The bread didn't have, like nowadays where it has all kinds of other ingredients. We need a heksher on it. We're talking the basic kind of bread that would be the same for Jews or for goyim. Might be an issue of pasako, my guess, but maybe not. Maybe in this town all the bakers were Jews, or bechlal, there are heterim to eat goyish, to eat bread baked by goyish bakers, except that we're machmer. Anyway. Whatever the case, it could also be maybe, of course, all these workers were Yidden, whatever. Anyway, now today, says this guy to Shmuel, there was one particular person over there who did not have any bread with him. So he was embarrassed when somebody goes around collecting the bread from each person to put into the common basket. He's not going to have anything to give. So I said to the other workers, I'm gonna be the one to collect and distribute the bread today. I'm going around from one person to another. Eventually, when I came to him, Shavori Nafshori commander Shtilimine, I pretended as though I'm taking bread from him. Meanwhile, actually, I just put in an extra piece of my own without anybody else realizing. If this way, he won't be embarrassed. Omalei, so Shmuel tells him, mitzvah abdeh. Well, then you did a mitzvah, specifically the mitzvah, as we said before, because Zaka is the mitzvah among mitzvahs. So that's what saved you from being killed by the snake. Nofak Shmuel v'darash, so Shmuel went down and darshin. When the pasuk says Zaka tatzol mimavis, means loy mi misa mishuna, means not only does Zaka save a person from an unnatural death, like being killed by a snake, Elamim Misa Atmet saved the person from dying altogether. Meaning, in other words, that Marashah says, now the fact is over here, it would have been a Misa Mishona. But what we're saying over here is, there's two things. Number one, it makes a person stay alive altogether. And number two, even if you have a person, it is his natural time to die, so he won't die from a Misa Mishona. At least he'll die a natural death. In this case, this guy was a young fellow. It wasn't yet his destined time to die, so therefore it saved him from death altogether. Marshall also mentions, by the way, that here in the next story, the danger was from a snake. because what first brought death into the world is the snake with Adam and Chava. So therefore tzedakah has particularly the ability to save a person from that kind from that kind of death. Well, it's not embarrassing, and it's both, I guess. But that's the Rif actually has a long explanation over here that why does Shmuel even need to say mitzvah ka'abdet? Of course, the guy did a mitzvah. What would you think? It should just say once the guy told his story, then Shmuel went down and darshan. Why does it have to add the word that Shmuel told a mitzvah ka'abdet? So the Rif has a long explanation that we know there's different levels in giving tzedakah. One of the higher levels of giving tzedakah is when you give and you don't know who you're giving to. Here, and for that matter, when the person receives and he doesn't know who he's receiving from. Here, each of them knows, the other person realizes that this guy play-acted and made it look like he's collecting from him when really he's not, and he himself knows that he didn't take from the guy. So it's not the highest level of tzedakah, but the fact is, this is the best you could do under the circumstances. There's no other way to accomplish under these circumstances to be able to give him tzedakah on one of the higher levels. It's still tzedakah, that's the point. So Shmuel was stressing mitzvah ka'abdet. The fact is, you did the mitzvah in the best possible way under the circumstances. So even though it might be he's embarrassed before you, he knows that you know that he didn't give any food. Nevertheless, it still counts as a great mitzvah of tzedakah because there was nothing better you could have done at that point. So the Gemara continues. So far we have Rabbi Yochanan and Rav and Shmuel who all hold Ein Mazal Yisrael, that even though there may be a matter of mazalis, nevertheless, tzedakah and tefillah and Torah and whatever can save a person from the effects of that. So Umid Rabbi Akiva Nami Ein Mazal Yisrael. Then from a story involving Rabbi Akiva, we can also see Ein Mazal Yisrael. So again, how would Rabbi Hanina deal with all these cases? As he would say, again, like we said before, that first of all, he might say, well, okay, you know, whoever saw the mazel in the first place, maybe saw it incompletely. Said Avlet, for example, the stargazer. Well, now we're going to have also stargazers in connection with Rabbi Akiva. We know Bechlas, stargazers never know 100% what's true anyway. There's always a certain inherent uncertainty in what they're saying. And there can also be, again, like what the Ritva is saying, what Avas Asim wrote about a Tzadik Gomer versus a Tzadik Sheni Gomer and various other possibilities. So Rabbi Hanina would find ways to transfer, but still from the straightforward version of the story, it comes out that Ein Mazal Yisrael. That is true. This is also true, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Umid Rabbi Akiva Nami Ein Mazal Yisrael. From the story of Rabbi Akiva, we also see that Ein Mazal Yisrael, the Rabbi Akiva Havile Brata, Rabbi Akiva had a daughter, Amrile Kaldoi, which means, now Tosfos points out the word Kaldoi here and throughout the Sugya seems to mean stargazers. Now there's a Gemara in Psochim that uses the word Kaldiyim and Rashi over there explains that it means magicians, people who practice Oiv magic. So Tosfos says, first of all, from all Gemara, it seems that not, because we're not talking about Oiv over here, they're saying that we saw in the stars such and such. And besides which, the Gemara says over there, how do we know you're not allowed to ask Kalbiyim? It says, well, if it means people who practice Oiv, of course you're not allowed to ask them. It's an outright Easter. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah to not ask such people for the future. So therefore, it must mean stargazers. So the vote would be, and Akosev also talks about this idea, it means you shouldn't be asking them because Tomim Tiyeh Hashem Alekecha, like Rashi says on the Pasuk over there, don't be looking to try to foretell the future. Realize whatever is going to come in the future is Hashem's plan for you and it's the best thing for you. Nevertheless, if you hear from Chaldeim, if you hear from stargazers, or you hear from forecasters or whatever, that such and such is going to happen, then at least you should take steps about it, which is how we have in these stories over here. Anyway. So Amile Kaldois, stargazers, told Rabbi Akiva, "How who yomer de ayil beig nana? The day that your daughter goes to get married, beig nana literally means the chuppah. Torit lochivyo umisa. She's going to be bitten by a snake and she's going to die. Have a deiga amil satova." So Rabbi Akiva was very worried about that. "How who yomer shakalta lamachbanta? That day or that night, whatever, the daughter took out her hairpin. Rashi describes machbanta is a clasp or something made out of gold, and it has a one end of it is a flat plate, and the other end of it is a pin. So you use like a stick in your hair or something, or in your it's like a brooch or something. You stick it into your hair or your clothing or whatever. Anyway, so she took that, that's the beguda. She stuck it into the wall. Islami is the beena de chibya, and punked it, came out, went right into the eye of a snake and killed it. Lutzafra kika shaklala. So now in the morning when she was pulling her pin out of the wall, havakasorich va'osi chibya basra. The snake was being pulled after it. The snake was stuck onto the pin, so she's schlepping out the pin and she's schlepping out a snake from the wall with it. Omala avua my abda. So her father, Rabbi Akiva, asked her, "What'd you do?" Omrele, she said to him, "Bapanya, last evening when we were having the wedding suda, Osa Anya Kora Baba, a poor person came and called by the door to ask for tzedakah. Vavatridi Kolama v'sudasa. Everybody was busy with the suda, with the wedding. Valeka v'shamei. Nobody heard him. Ana Kaimna. So I got up, shkalti distinoi. I took my portion of food. Distina is a Aramaic word that means a portion of food. Do you have a sli that had been given to me? You have to. Niyalei, and I gave it to him instead." Omalei, Omalah, so Rabbi Akiva tells him, mitzvah ka'ablet, again, you did a mitzvah, nafak, Rabbi Akiva v'dorish, it's doka, tatsum mavis, v'loim misa mishunah, v'misa atzma, the same thing as Shmuel doubting generations later, after the story with the guy with the weeds, that tzedakah saves a person, not only from misa mishunah, but even from dying b'chlau. Again, what's the point why he has to stress mitzvah abdus? So again, you have the Rif explains over here. You could argue that maybe the main thing that saved her is Rabbi Akiva's tefillas. But he realizes if when she pulled out the pin, the snake came with it, then fine. If it just had that the snake didn't end up biting her like the Kaldoi had said is going to happen, fine. Then we could attribute it to Rabbi Akiva's tefillah. But the fact that she actually pulled out the snake with it, so that now everybody could clearly see the nest that happened, that had to be more than just Rabbi Akiva's tefillah. So therefore, so she tells him what happened, and then he realized that that's what it is. The mitzvah that she did is what made it not only that she was saved from being killed, but also that now everybody can see the nest very open. Another one, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Nami, Ein Mazal Yisrael. Then we have the story of Rav Nachman Yitzchok. Also, we see from that Ein Mazal Yisrael, that the Jewish people are not controlled by the Mazalis, there's something higher than that. The image of Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Omrela Kaldoi, Rav Nachman Yitzchok's mother was told by Kaldoi, by stargazers, Brich Gan Vahava, your son is going to be a Gan. So they're stargazers. So Mar Shah explains, we talked before about Mazel Shah. So maybe they knew he was born under Mazel Levana. And we said before that if he steals, he'll be successful. If it was just that they went according to Mazel Yoim, that wouldn't be enough. Cause we did say a person who's born on Sunday is going to be either completely good or completely bad, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be a Ganav. We said there of Ashi and Dimi Bakakuzda were both born on Sunday and one was a Rosh Hashiva and one not. So if they're saying categorically to the mother, your son is going to be a Ganav, must be they were following Mazel Shars. Anyway. So, from then on, Reb Nachman's mother did not allow him to keep his head uncovered. Now, there are two ways of understanding it, really. One way of understanding is that, in general, people did not regularly cover their heads back then. Befrat children, you have actually a Gemara, a Mishnah, and a Gemara in Dorim that seems to imply that children particularly regularly went around without a yarmulke. So then it would mean that in this particular case, she made sure he was always wearing a yarmulke. The other way of understanding it, on the other hand, Marsha says, is everybody is supposed to cover their head, because to remember that the Shekhinah is above you. So the vote would be that she was making sure his hair is that his head is extra covered. So it means with an extra large yarmulke, or it means a double covering like we're careful to do during davening or whatever. So two different ways of understanding. Anyway, Omrele, and she said to him, Kasi Reshach, cover your head. He hated it to have Eloch, Aim said to Shmaya, so that you should always have fear of Hashem, uboi rachmi, and furthermore, daven to Hashem for rachmanus, that your yetzahara should not get the better. Loi hava yoda, my family. He never understood what's the big deal. Everybody has a yetzahara. Why is she taking these extra steps with me? Yoimachad Yosef kagoris tusi dikla. One day, Rav Nachman Yitzchok was sitting under a palm tree and learning Torah. Nofel glima mi'ilovi reshe. The glima, which is the covering on his head. So again, either if we say that usually people didn't cover their heads regularly, then the glima would be the yarmulke. If you say that everybody usually wore a yarmulke, then it would be the extra large yarmulke or the hat or whatever it is that he wore over it. It fell off his head. Doli eine, he lifted up his eyes. Chazal dikla, he saw the palm tree above him. Alme Yitzray, his Yetzirah overpowered him, now that he's not covering his head the way he's supposed to, so his Yetzirah got the better of him. Solik, he climbed up the tree, Paskil, Kibur of Ashine, and bit off a cluster of dates with his teeth. So in other words, even though he didn't have a knife with him, and climbing a palm tree is no easy task, but his Yetzirah that was burning so much to steal, that he still went and did that. So then he finally realized what his mother had been all about all those years before. So, but we see that Ein Mazal Yisrael, had it been that Yesh Mazal Yisrael, Hitaka would have become a Ganev, but because Ein Mazal Yisrael, then his tefillah, the Bo Yirachmi, and the covering and being careful to cover his head, that helped keep his Yetzirah in check the rest of the time. Slichel on the Sechta Shabbos. Yeah. So, well, not, there's not, I'm not, not, well, we haven't learned the whole Masechta. We learned the Ein Yaakov, the whole Masechta, but yeah. It's actually my Yom HaLetus tonight, so it's a nice occasion to. Man, thank you, Rav Noach. And then brachas to everybody else. You're supposed to give brachas on your Yom HaLetus. So brachas to everybody over here for everything they need. Regashim's well. Okay, brachas for Shidduch. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Chotes Sivan. So that I've talked about in one in a sicha in Tavshin and Beis, the only thing that's missing at this point is for a yid to open up his eyes properly and see how everything is ready for the gola. We already have the table set. We already have the levyasa and the shur abur, the yayin and the shumer. You already have the people are already sitting around the table. Shulchan avihem, and avihem means the melech malchay and lachem akadosh baruch hu. So it means the table is already together with Mashiach Tzidkenu, as it says in Sfarim, that in every dur there's somebody from the descendants of Yehuda who is roy to be Mashiach. In our generation, it's Nasi Dereinu, which means the Friedrich Rebbe, and later on, our Rebbe. So everything is ready, and we just need to realize it. Halachas, continuing on the halachas of Anas Dvarim and Gnevas Das. If a person has a derogatory nickname, now you can have, people have been calling him that for a long time, and he's gotten used to it. But if somebody uses that with intention to embarrass him, then that would also be an example of Anas Dvarim to call a person by such a nickname. If we're talking about, if he cares, apparently it doesn't matter if he cares. If the intention of the person using it is that he should be embarrassed, even if the person himself is already used to it and doesn't not embarrassed, then he's still also to do. Another din involving Gnevas Das, you're not allowed to be Goin of Das Abrius, to trick people even if they're not losing from it. And that means then you're not allowed to be Goin of Das even a Goin. So one example would be, for example, to sell a Goy, trade for meat, Nevela, and tell him that it's shorter. For him, it makes no difference. He's always perfectly allowed to eat Nevela, but nevertheless, it's Gnevas Das. Another example, you're selling something that has a defect, even if it would be worth the same thing with or without the defect, you still have to inform of it. On the other hand, he goes on to say, if you're giving a present, then there's no issue of Gnevas Das, because, you know, I guess on the theory that don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Yeah. Okay.